Have you ever noticed in the record of the Gospels how the treatment that was given to Jesus of Nazareth changed immediately at the time of his death? And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never man was yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. I have read to you this whole portion. It's in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, verses 38 to 42. You may want to open your Bibles and just look at it while I'm speaking, because this is the record of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of the Lord Jesus that we've been thinking about in these days, and all the Christian world has been recalling, the whole world knows about. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the end of the story. We read in the record of the Gospels, we read the shameful treatment that he received while he was a prisoner, and we noted the harsh, coarse cruelty of the soldiers as they abused him. We read to see how every indignity was heaped upon him, and we saw how in all of that he quietly, patiently endured. Until the time of his death, ridicule and shame was poured on him in every possible way. Even to the very last gesture, when a soldier thrust his spear into his side to make sure that he was dead. But at the moment of his death, from the very moment that his death was established, all such treatment ended. There's no reference that anything was done with the body of the Lord Jesus other than would be done in reverent, loving care. Now we read it is the loving hands of Joseph of Arimathea who tenderly take him down from the cross and prepare him for burial. It is the reverent, loving hands of Joseph and Nicodemus who wrap him in the linen clothes in spices to lay him away in the tomb. Now let us look a little more closely at this man, Joseph of Arimathea. He's told about in each of the Gospels, and there's only a short bit about him in each one. If you were to look up Matthew and Mark and Luke, as well as this passage in John, you would get a rather good picture of this man. He was evidently a young man. He was a rich young man. And yet he was very influential, because he was a member of the council of the highest governing body of the whole people. And then I want you to notice now what he did. This young man who was a member of this influential body and was a rich young man was actually a secret believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had never openly confessed because of fear of the Jews. He had kept it to himself. He was a true believer, that's right, but he wasn't an open believer. And some of you may wonder whether anything like that's ever possible. Well, it is, but it isn't as glorious as it could be. It could be more glorious if a person were to give an open testimony all the way through. And in the case of Nicodemus, in the case of Joseph of Arimathea, he didn't have this. But just notice what he did have. You will see that in this particular instance, when he came forward to Pilate and asked him for the body of the Lord Jesus, just have in mind that this person, Jesus of Nazareth, had just been condemned as a criminal. And he had been put to death as if he were a common criminal. Remember that if you were a member of the Jewish company, that the highest office in that Jewish community was that of the high priest. And the high priest had condemned this man so that he was actually put to death as a malefactor and treated in that fashion. The chief priests had aroused hostility against him among the people. The council as a whole had condemned him, and even though Joseph was a member of the council and he had not agreed with the matter of putting the Lord Jesus to death, still all the other council members had condemned him. As far as Joseph himself is concerned, he had kept his personal faith a secret. There's no particular reason why we should at this time evaluate that or criticize him for it. We do not know all the circumstances that surrounded him, but because in this particular instance, it was his opportunity to do something that will forever honor his name. I think of all the men that were associated with the Lord Jesus in his closing days, probably no man would be the one that we would look upon so with such respect and with so much appreciation as this young rich man who did what he did just now. Because what he did was this. When all the others rejected the Lord Jesus, when they had openly denied him and had openly despised him, at this point he comes forward and identifies himself. At the time when there was certainly no glory in doing it, when it would have seemed that with shame and abuse that had been poured upon this man as if he were a common criminal, it was just as though Joseph had said out loud, "This has gone far enough. If you're going to treat him that way, I'll just admit right now that I think he's my Lord and he's my Savior." In other words, he steps right out in front of everybody and identifies himself with the name and with the whole work of this person, Jesus of Nazareth, as much as if to say, "Count me with him. If you're going to reject him, you'll have to reject me." The more you think about it, the more wonderful this becomes. And just at a time when it would seem as though nobody was going to show any loyalty to him at all, this quiet man steps forward and says, "I belong to him. Let me have his body." We read in one of the other Gospels that he went boldly into the presence of Pilate and asked that he might have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the witness that now goes round the whole world. This is what every Christian believer says and does wherever you find him at any time. Whenever there is various talk about all the things that pertain to man and to life and to the whole universe and to the meaning of life and to the values of life, and you talk about God and the possibility of judgment and the possibility of dealing with God, and you wonder about Jesus of Nazareth, and you wonder whether the Christian gospel is true, and people wonder whether or not it's necessary to believe in the Lord Jesus to be saved, they wonder whether the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was actually the ground of salvation. In the midst of all this confusion, if Joseph of Arimathea were here, he'd be one of those men that would walk right out into the big middle and say, "I'm one of them. I belong to him." And this is a hopeful promise for us in our day and time. Actually, in our day and time, when ecclesiastical leaders are inclined, for the sake of power, to ignore the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and political leaders, for the sake of prestige, may actually turn their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ, at a time when such people reject the truth as it is presented in the gospel for reasons of their own, and we see on every hand so many different people who will find so many occasions to repudiate the Bible, at a time like this, when the mounting confusion and general widespread rejection of the claims of Christ and the reality of Christ, this is the time when the layman may now step forward and speak up. And we may find in our day and time that the layman is the man who will come forward and will present himself. Many, many times when I think about this, my heart just thrills. There are times when I look at the situation in the world as a whole, and as I do, I'm conscious of the fact that there are many, many reasons why we might even think that the whole world is turning away from Christ, when even the leaders themselves to be turning away from Christ. And actually, we find things going on in churches. We find things going on among ecclesiastical bodies and church bodies, and we see people who are preaching and teaching, and they're saying so many things that are different and contradictory and so on, and you begin to wonder what can happen. I want to tell you right now, the most hopeful thing I can think of is that when the day gets dark enough, the layman will step forward and say, "But he's my Savior." And oh, today, what a refreshing thing it is to hear someone get up and say, "I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was saved by Him, I have put my hope and my trust and my confidence in Him." And this is something can happen anytime. Let me tell you, so far as you're concerned, if you're a layman, if you happen to be a businessman or a businesswoman, or you're a man or a woman living in the community, let me tell you that the days are here now when you can do a wonderful thing by just openly stepping out and identifying yourself with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just take your stand right there and say, no matter what anybody else says, "He's my Lord, my Savior, He died for me, I'm trusting in Him, and I'm expecting Him to save my soul." And I can think that so far as God in heaven is concerned, and the angels are concerned when they look down upon us here and see what's going on earth, it must have been a wonderful thing to see Joseph of Arimathea step forward and say, "I belong to Him, our God and Heavenly Father. Help us to give our testimony and our witness. Strengthen us to be faithful to our confidence and our conviction in Him. And bless those who openly witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen."